This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. So Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, and Kirk Cousins are the subjects of this year's edition of Quarterback, the Netflix documentary series, which this is the second one they've done on quarterback. They went quarterbacks a couple years ago. It was Cousins, Mariota, and Mahomes. Then they switched to wide receivers. I'm guessing the wide receiver one didn't pop as well as they wanted to, Seth, which is why they went back to quarterbacks. I know they were having a hard time finding quarterbacks that wanted to be in it, so they pivoted to wide receivers last year. And it was some pretty compelling guys. I will say this, I didn't watch it. Quarterbacks pop, you know?
Quarterbacks pop. Yeah. That's the biggest thing that we know for sure.
Yeah.
That's one of the first things Vandermeer ever said to me when I was getting into this business. It was like, anything quarterbacks. It's just, they drive the league. You can see why the league wants to protect them so much.
Yeah, no doubt. So Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins. I've not watched any of it yet. It all dropped a couple of days ago. Have you watched? That's my project for the next few days, I think, is to watch it.
No, I haven't watched any of them.
Are you going to watch it?
Okay, let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Yeah, no, give me an assignment.
Okay, yes.
You know I can't be trusted to set my own schedule or read Baseball Savant.
You need to
give me assignments.
I will let you know when I am watching it so that we make sure that we're both at least watching a couple episodes of it. So we'll.
That's a little too vague. Got to give me a plan.
I will give you a plan, but not on this segment. As we're doing radio on the air right now, but I will give you a plan for this. Joe Burrow, independent of having watched it, there's a cut of Joe Burrow on the sidelines at the end of a game against the Titans this past season in week 15, where the Bengals won this game 37-27, but the Bengals had all sorts of sloppy procedural penalties in the game. At the beginning of this cut, you're going to hear Joe Burrow telling one of his offensive linemen to wake the bleep up. And then you're going to hear some audio of Zach Taylor trying to talk Joe Burrow off the ledge at the end of a game on the bench in which they won by double digits and scored 37 points in the game. Here's what it sounded like. Joe Burrow, perfectionist.
False start. Offense.
The penalty train rolls on.
Oh, what the f*** are we doing, man? Wake the f*** up! Mental mistakes all f***ing day.
Hey, way to finish the day. That's a great drive to finish it. I know it's a frustrating,
embarrassing performance by us.
F***ing embarrassing. Listen, we'll address it. We'll address it. But at the same time, let's enjoy some
f***ing that. F*** that. We sucked today. That was embarrassing.
Okay.
We jumped off sides f***ing eight times.
I know that. Okay. I'm going to praise our defense.
Sometimes I walk into an emotional moment that I know I'm walking into an emotional moment, and it becomes a really emotional moment, and it may be viewed as conflict. It's really just passion for the game.
You know, I understand that we won the game and we want to be happy that we win the game, but at the same time, when things aren't good enough, I'm not going to act like they were.
Yeah, so there you go. And now keep in mind, this is a Cincinnati team at that point in the season was battling just to keep their heads above water. You know, they're just trying to stay in the
race. Right,
right.
Yeah, know? I mean, we know the story of the Bengals season.
Yeah.
It just, yeah, the defense obviously was, he's
mess.
Not talking about the defense there. He's talking about the offense that scored
37 points in that game.
37 points in that game. This is the one key thing. Listen, everybody. I know everybody gets all sensitive when we start talking pronouns these days. He used we repeatedly in that. That was the thing that I liked about it was he's flipping out, but at least in those clips, yes, he is pointing the finger at the offensive line, but every single time he said we. And I like that shows a certain level of understanding his role, and like there's an appropriate way to flip out.
Yeah.
That you're not always gonna be calm, cool, and collected. But it hits a lot different when it's a we thing versus a you guys. There's nothing worse. Everybody listening right now had that kid on their high school football team that basically wanted to be sure everybody knew that everybody needed to play more like me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, come on, you guys. Yep. You got to want it like I do.
Yep.
Like, that's the worst.
Yes.
The opposite is, all right, he is the leader of the offense. He is an established he's Joe freaking Burrow. When he's flipping out like that, he's not talking about just you or you or you. It's all of us. Like, we're just not doing it the right way. I thought it was it's an appropriate flip out. You're setting a standard that's, you're letting everybody know that this is not our standard.
Yeah.
I don't care how many points we scored. This is not acceptable.
Yeah. I said yesterday when we played it, I'm 100% in favor of this. If that's his management style, if that's how he views things, if he views it as not being good enough, too often after some of these games, like, it's an NFL game and we won the game and we scored more points and I get
it. I hate
it
when they sound like baseball players.
It's hard to win in the NFL. And I'm like, and yet half the league does it every week. It's
an 8-8 league.
Yeah.
So even if there's 17 games now.
I liked it. And when you and I played this yesterday, I asked you the question, should C.J. Stroud be like that? You know, maybe he is like that. We don't know. He's not mic'd up all the time. I have no idea. You know,
And what I said is it doesn't, I don't like trying to impose a certain leadership style on any given quarterback because guys do it different ways.
Yeah.
And you can have great success with different ways. You know, Joe Montana wasn't that way.
No.
Eli Manning wasn't that way.
Yep.
Does all of a sudden, does T.J. Stroud have to try to be like Joe Burrow in that leadership style? I don't think it's always as clear-cut or as easy to say.
No. And what makes it a more poignant topic, though, with C.J. is his offensive line is even worse than Joe Burrow's offensive line was that day. You know, so there are plenty of opportunities for C.J. probably to react the way that Joe Burrow did in that moment. And again, you know, Joe Burrow's mic'd up for a documentary, so we're seeing it, and that's what pops on the documentary. There's probably days worth of footage that makes it into a 1-hour episode of Quarterback. Clint Sterner was talking about this on The Drive earlier this week about CJ's leadership style. He and Ron had played this clip from Joe Burrow. I know it was a jumping off point for this bit of audio you're about to hear right here.
Ron, it's exactly what I'm talking about, right? Because here's the best part of that is when the head coach who happens to be the play caller, so the main communicator with the quarterback in this instance, right? When that guy comes over and the quarterback being Joe Burrow, if he sits there and goes, yeah, you're right, I'll calm down. We did some good stuff. Yeah, you're right. Then the coach goes to the locker room. Hey, guys, we won. Let's focus on that we won. And then everybody comes to practice Monday and it's just happy-go-lucky and it's acting like what that performance right there, 8 penalties, 8 false starts or whatever it was, isn't going to get your ass kicked in the division they play in, absolutely going to get their ass kicked, but definitely where Joe Burrow expects to take that football team, right? But because Joe Burrow says, no, boss, that is unacceptable, that's embarrassing, and makes his point sure cussing and maybe overdoing it, but that is, at the end of the day, that offense is not going to go as Zach Taylor, the offensive play caller, is going to allow it to go. That offense is going to go the direction of Joe Burrow. It doesn't matter if Zach Taylor, now obviously this is a head coach we're talking about, but if we're talking about play callers, and if we're bringing it back to Houston, we're talking about play callers, like this offense needs to go the way of C.J. Stroud. This offense doesn't need to go the way of Nick Caley. Like Nick Caley doesn't need to dictate what is said in meetings in terms of like this kind of stuff. When there's poor play, like C.J. Stroud needs to make sure that every coach around him understands, like, no, that's unacceptable. We're not going to go to the post-game presser. We're not going to go to the team meeting. We're not going to go into Monday and Tuesday's meetings with this, oh, we got us a win, boys. We got us a win because that is
it's hard
that,
to win in the NFL.
Yeah, it's hard to win in this NFL. It's hard to win the division around here. Like at some point in time, and I've said this a million times, at some point in time, the Houston Texans offense, in terms of standards being set, in terms of guys being held accountable, in terms of the brand of football that is going to be Houston Texans offensive football, that needs to come from C.J. Stroud. If you're going to pay that guy $60 million a year, that needs to be C.J. Stroud. That doesn't need to be, well, Nick Caley does or doesn't have the ability to talk that way, and he is or he isn't an alpha, or he is or he isn't a great play caller, or he has the ability to hold somebody accountable or not. No, C.J. Stroud needs to be. And that is exactly what the hell I'm talking about.
Yeah, I guess, and I agree to Clint to a certain extent. I think but you also got to remember that I don't know if Joe Burrow was like that in his second season.
Right, right.
You know, it's something you do have to grow into. And I think that there's probably at least one of the considerations of trading away Laremy Tunsil was that I don't know if Laremy's the kind of guy that responds to a second-year player in the league dog cussing the offensive line for all of the miserable play. And when you've got – I mean, it was a bad dynamic. One of the I can say from the outside looking in, man, when your best offensive lineman is known as the guy that never practices and that selfishly has false starts over and over again, it really chafes against me when people try to downplay those false starts because they don't recognize how selfish those penalties were. That is a dude being a lone operator and meanwhile also being looked to by other offensive linemen as the best guy on the team and the highest paid offensive lineman and all those things. And also a guy who's much older than CJ Stroud. And it can create some uncomfortable dynamics. So I don't know exactly how everything was, but it's not ideal, you know?
Yeah. I wonder, boy, that you bring up Laremy Tunsil. And again, this is a mic'd up episode of Quarterback where we're getting a complete window into the dynamic of a football game between the Bengals and the Titans as it pertains to the offensive line play in that game. So we don't know if CJ ever had moments like that with Laremy, what the conversations were when Laremy jumps off sides three times in a series. I just think if CJ had used that type of management style, I'll call it, that Joe Burrow did, if he wasn't doing that. But what if he had? You know, what if he had been a guy who could dog cuss Laremy Tunsil? Maybe the guy doesn't jump off sides and maybe he does respond to it. You know, like I have no idea. Maybe should have yelled at him. maybe somebody should have yelled at him.
Well, those are the things that go on too, where I can't remember who the young quarterback was. This is a long time ago, Sean. If you pull this, I'll be very impressed. I'm going to buy you a nice gift bag. I want to say it was with the Cardinals. It was a young quarterback who kind of was yelling at one of the offensive linemen who was a veteran. Okay. And they were mic'd up. And the veteran was basically, hey, you'll talk to me that way. You don't talk to me that way. And all of a sudden, you got this situation where your quarterback's being defied by a veteran offensive lineman in the moment.
Yeah.
And like that's where the age does come into it. And CJ himself is struggling performance-wise at that time, not putting up the same. So, yeah, these are the second year that C.J. Stroud endured last year, I think ultimately in the long run might be such a positive because those are the painful things that have to happen that you have to go through to really genuinely get to that spot where you've got some scars and you've been through it and you got to learn how to A, establish yourself as a player, but B, also know that sometimes, hey, whether you're playing well or not, you're still that leader. And what does it look like? Do you have to be a yeller? Do you have to be a guy that just holds people accountable, whatever it might be? You're not going to be that finished product in your second year. You know, I don't think – I'd love to go back and watch Tom Brady in his second year when they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing the instances of him freaking out about bad drills and 7-on-7 and everything were not nearly as the same as when he was later. You know, we were in West Virginia, and it was one of the most impressive things I ever saw was I think it was a 7-on-7 where the Patriots actually played pretty well versus the Texans in that combined training camp.
Yep.
And Tom Brady, after the 7-on-7 drill, where they probably completed like 7 of 8 passes, was flipping out.
About the one incompletion.
In the second week of training camp. Yeah. I don't know if he was like that in his second year. Maybe he was. I don't know. But some of it is you gotta age into it, and you gotta have a certain amount of cachet to it before you can get to that point.
You think CJ's got that in him? I think he's got it in him. You know, to evolve into that kind of guy.
Well, I think his personal standards are really, really high.
Yes.
And then it's a matter of feeling it out and, all right, what am I? And, you know, part of it, too, for younger quarterbacks is you got to accept it's one of the best things. This is one of the best things that comes from being a parent, is that you learn that, okay, sometimes my kid is going to hate me. Mm-hmm. And you know what? At the end of the day, I know they actually love me, but in that moment, they hate me. But I'm going to do what's right.
Yeah.
And you just learn. You kind of build those calluses of like, okay, my kid's going to hate
me for a
while.
Good analogy, yes.
So be it. And I'm not saying, you know, CJ needs to go out and knock somebody up this offseason. But like that's part of maturation as a manager or anybody else. It's like, okay, sometimes people are going to be upset. We'll work through it and we'll get over it.
Yeah.
People's feelings get hurt. And then you massage the situation however you need to,
mm-hmm.
but you can't be overly worried about people being upset with you. That's part of being a good parent or a good manager or however else.
I Googled Cardinals quarterback yelling at offensive linemen and nothing's coming up. I was trying to cheat.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. One of our listeners probably remembers it.
A listener texted in, Peyton Manning and Jeff Saturday, ? No, Seth said it was on the Cardinals. And by the way, Peyton Manning came into the league pretty much allowed to yell at anybody he wanted to on that Colts team.
Okay, I'm glad you brought up Peyton Manning that our listener brought up Peyton Manning because there is also that dynamic. When I say that you don't need a certain specific personality type for any. That's the reason so many former Patriots coaches have failed.
Yep.
Because they're trying to imitate Belichick's personality. Instead of recognizing and understanding that, look, Belichick gets away with doing a lot of stuff, probably the wrong way, because he's so good at other things.
He's a genius.
One of the biggest mistakes you could ever make is trying to emulate every facet of a successful person, because every successful person has flaws. So if you try to emulate their flaws, well, meanwhile having your own flaws, you're doubling down on flaws, and it's dumb. So when it comes to a team, a lot of it is what's the mix. You know, like, hey, Tony Dungy, maybe as a head coach, didn't have enough of an edge when he was in Tampa. And, you know, certainly didn't. He was a defensive-minded head coach, and the offensive side of the ball wasn't the same. Tony Dungy goes to the Colts, and the balance in the organization is kind of like, man, Peyton Manning's a taskmaster, and not to mention a great quarterback. Tony Dungy operates the way he does. Those two personality types were probably a really, really good fit.
Yes.
So just like in a business, you got a CEO, you got a CFO, you got
COO, CIO.
COO.
COO.
So what I was thinking of is you need a COO, the taskmaster, the guy that just flat out knows how to get things done.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the head coach. Sometimes it's the offensive coordinator. Sometimes it's the quarterback himself. But it's just a matter of finding that right blend. So I do think, I know Clint said, hey, this can't be Nick Caley being this guy or that guy. I think I disagree with Clint. You know, we're just playing a clip of Clint, but if we were to talk about it, I think that I disagree with thinking that each specific guy has to have a certain personality type. It's in any organization. It's that you do have to have those personality types on the team.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always have to be the quarterback. It doesn't always have to be the head coach. It's just there's got to be that mix and that dynamic that's right.
Yeah, you get a bunch of hotheads and that's all you got, it's going to be a combustible mess. You get a bunch of guys that are too dialed back and accepting of things, and it's going to result in failure, just two different paths to failure.
Yeah, the head coach, I mean, sometimes the quarterback being more of a Joe Montana personality is a perfect blend with a coach that's more of a hard edge type of dude, you know? Favre wasn't like a dog cussing type of guy.
Yeah.
And Favre is a man who had no flaws whatsoever, but
none of them documented on Netflix at all. Yes.
I don't know. Like, is Pat Mahomes, I mean, Pat Mahomes gets upset and everything, but I don't look at Pat Mahomes as being quite the same type of guy as Peyton Manning or Tom Brady when it comes to their style.
Or Burrow, leadership. Who we just heard in that clip right there.
Right, you know? And it seems to be going pretty well for Pat Mahomes.
It is working,
Super Bowl notwithstanding.
It is working, yeah. People are guessing at your Cardinals quarterback now. Was it Jake the Snake? Jake the Snake, I think, he's more likely
his
to go take...
Style
yeah, he's
there.
More likely to go take bong rips with the offensive line after a game than yell at them about a sack.
And I probably... Listen, guys, you know me. I'm a guy that can't even read the stat sheet, right? Like in the previous segment, it probably wasn't the Cardinals. It was probably somebody else. Well, so I'm going to spend this afternoon trying to figure out who I'm talking about.
Someone is saying Josh Rosen, but it feels like you're talking about something.
It was back
way
in the day.
Before Josh Rosen. Yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
Youngster, but when I say back in the day, it's different than what you mean by back
in
the
right,
day.
Not 2018. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, you brought up Mahomes. Speaking of Mahomes, let's skip down to this, Ben. All right, so. Mahomes, is Patrick Mahomes fat? There is a picture that has surfaced from his most recent vacation where he certainly doesn't look shredded. I will say that. But I don't think Patrick Mahomes has ever been thought to be a guy that gets it done by being this made on AI or in a lab tour de force physically. Like, he's just freaky. He's got a freaky arm, freaky football IQ, all those things. Kevin Keatsman is a former radio host in Kansas City, who now does a podcast, who went on his podcast this week and got a lot of attention because he looked at that picture of Mahomes and said, Patrick Mahomes is fat.
Meanwhile, vacation photos are popping up of Patrick Mahomes, and he's fat. I'm going to say it, and I'm going to tell you the truth. That's why you hit the play button. He's an embarrassment. You're a $500 million quarterback. You've made all these comments in the offseason that we're going to do our talking on the field. We got our butts kicked in the Super Bowl. We're coming back with a vengeance. Dude, you're fat. Your belly would be fat at my pool, hanging out with us, 60-year-olds, okay? My skin's flabbier than yours. I get it. Stop. Stop the fast food. Do a sit-up. Do something. Yeah, I'm sure he's worked out and strengthened his arm, and he's done all kinds of different things, quarterback things, but there's no training to this man. I don't understand it. He's not a kid anymore. You can't just run through your NFL career eating Taco Bell all the time and door-dashing fried chicken, which he loves, from that one place over in Leawood where he gets it all the time. It's time, dude. It's time.
All right.
Okay, this is this is why this is a clown take for multiple reasons. One, all right, let's look up Google shirtless Peyton Manning, shirtless Eli Manning to be certain, shirtless Tom Brady.
Combine Tom Brady.
In his career. Yeah, well, not even combine Tom Brady. Like, really, until Tom Brady hit the TB12 later in his career.
Yep.
And he was still, like, his physique was nothing to look at. But really, the biggest one where I'm kind of surprised that anybody from Kansas City would say there's no working out. Like, Mahomes does not have the physique. But he does. He does a whole lot of. He does a lot of like extra, pretty cool stuff in terms of kind of training his body a certain way. He works out, but he doesn't have a six pack. And guess what? Let's look at any various great pitchers or quarterbacks through the years and tell me how important it is to be chiseled as a quarterback.
Right.
It's an exception. It's not the rule. So. I was looking at Mahomes' dad bod pictures yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
Brandy walked in. She had questions. And it was, I'm looking at it and realistically thinking, like, okay, it's kind of, like, to call his body a dad body is really giving a lot of credit to actual dad bods.
Hell yes, it is. I mean, I'm looking at this. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, he's you could mix in with the pool of my 60-year-old friends. I'm like, I would not want it like that. I would take that in a second.
So quarterback's a different position, and the standards aren't quite the same as other positions.
Right.
But let's think of another great example from guys that didn't have immaculate bodies. Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
Do you think he was all right? Like, is Keatsman going to say, like, look at him? He doesn't even look like anything like these other defensive backs.
Right.
Does he even work out?
Yeah.
Like, Sanders isn't impressive. If you look at photos of Deion Sanders in his uniform, you would never guess, based on just his physique, that he was one of the greatest defensive backs who ever lived.
You need to see the video with him, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I think Keatsman might spend too much time on TikTok or something. He's watching too many fitness influencers to think that the standard of an athletic quarterback body is somehow, you know, chiseled in, out of stone. It's not. It's not. So Mahomes has one of those. He's one of those guys. He walks kind of, you know, pigeon-toed or whatever.
Dude,
he's getting the job done. I'm not going to sit here and act like Pat Mahomes was not the issue with the Chiefs' offense this year.
No,
you know,
no.
It was an offensive line.
Nobody's watching.
It was just hodgepodge together.
Yeah, well, they were down 40-6 at one point in the Super Bowl, and nobody's saying, like, boy, Patrick Mahomes looks tired out there.
Right, right. You know, that's a big question. Yeah, does Pat Mahomes look tired? It's a really bad take.
Yeah, it's a bad take.
That you'll hear tomorrow.
That you'll hear tomorrow at 9 a.m. on Take-A-Mania. Yes.
I hate that I have to sit here and defend Pat Mahomes like this, but I do. Kitzman's almost like one of these people that need to like body shame actual celebrities or something, and they'll show pictures of him by the pool and say, look at how fat he is. And you're looking at him, you're like, I don't know, is that fat?
Yeah.
He's not fat. He's not obese. He's got a layer of fat on his belly.
You know who
Brett Favre at one point in his career gained weight because he's like, you know what? I leaned out and everything, and then I just felt like the hits hurt more.
Yeah.
I think Roethlisberger may have said something similar, which is that, you know, yeah, I felt like I wanted to be a little bit more sleeker and athletic, but what you realize is those hits, this is one of the hardest things to explain to people, and I don't even put it on social media anymore because I hate getting mansplained about it. Like 5 to 10 pounds as an NFL player, you feel the difference. I could say that as a defensive lineman. The difference between 315 and 305 for me, as a big guy who was a fat foot, the typical defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Like, the hits hurt more when you're 305 than when you're 315.
Wow, really?
That's why, remember we were talking to Nick last year? Yeah. Casario?
Yeah.
About Damian Pierce, and Nick was making the point that, hey, Damian's just as strong as he was when he was at his previous body weight or whatever, and he's actually only however many pounds lighter. And I told Nick, I was like, man, it's just that ballast. The ballast matters. There's something about you don't get knocked quite as far. You don't give quite as much ground when you just got a few extra pounds of body weight. So even for the big guys, yeah, it does. Sometimes there's a difference between 335 and 330.
Yeah.
And some guys, it's just that perfect playing weight for Mahomes is probably right about where he was. But to act like he doesn't work out.
Right.
And you live in Kansas City, and you're going to tell me you've never seen any of the footage of him with his offseason workouts? That's just dumb.
Well, then he states it like it's fact, too. That's like Mahomes has been spotted at Taco Bell or something like that. Like there's a
fried chicken place that he likes.
That he likes. Exactly. So
yeah, Dwight Howard loved Skittles.
Right.
Is that evidence all of a sudden that Dwight Howard wasn't in shape?
Yeah. So I guess this is the most attention that this Kitzman has gotten in a long time because he's been off the radio. He's got a podcast. That cut was from his podcast that he has, which I guess he's now. I was watching Nick Wright talk about this on Lebatard show. Nick hates this guy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids to a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nick Wright hates Kevin Keatsman. They battled on Kansas City radio back before Nick got to Houston 15 years ago.
When Nick was coming up, young radio host trying to beat Keatsman in the ratings.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so he hates him because I guess Keatsman was really disrespectful to him. There was a big story about Nick in one of the one of the local magazines there in Kansas City, and they interviewed Keatsman, and Keatsman said something to the effect of, "He's the Jaguars, I'm the Patriots." Now this is back in like 2012.
This is back when radio wars were still, like radio wars have finally gone by the wayside because it's now like you're competing with all of social media, everything else. So it's the radio wars don't hit. Back then it was classic radio wars.
It was radio wars. And we're going to play Nick here in a second. We don't have this in the audio. I just had to keep the audio tight because Nick went on for 4 minutes about how much he hates this guy. So I wanted to just take the best parts, but apparently when Nick finally beat Keatsman in the ratings, he had a party to celebrate it, and he celebrated it at the restaurant that Keatsman owned at the time.
Or at the other radio station owned or whatever.
Well, he owned the radio station. Keatsman owned the radio station, and I think owned a restaurant that went with it. Yeah,
I was confused because he says later he owned the station, so I didn't know if he owned it at the time.
Yeah.
Or not, but whatever.
I know Keatsman. Well, anyways. Yeah. I went to a Jim Rome tour stop in like 2003, and I think he owned the station back then.
Oh,
anyways,
okay. Gotcha,
yeah. So,
gotcha.
So here is Nick on the Lebatard show. Expressing just how much he hates the guy that just gave the Mahomes is fat. And this is like right after this big fat take had come out and been made public earlier this week.
He then on a podcast that can't have 35 listeners said this about Patrick Mahomes. And now for the first time in a decade, he's noteworthy while I'm on, one of America's premier platforms, which is to say, not to make it about me, but we know who won that battle. Sorry, Keats. Son of a bitch. I hated him so much. Oh, my goodness gracious. And people are like, oh, Nick, don't. You're punching down. No. It will never feel like punching down. It's a bad dude who's bad for my city, and now people are like local Kansas City radio host. That guy, it's like calling someone a local television host if 30 years ago they bought time overnight. Like, give me a break. You hit the trifecta of being a bad person, being dishonest, and the thing that's, worse than all those, totally and wholly untalented. I just never let it go.
That's petty cast material.
Yeah,
right.
So what Nick is referencing there is saying he's not taking a shot at local radio hosts. He's saying, no, Keatsman has a one-hour show on local radio.
Yeah.
Maybe... He might buy. Who knows? Maybe he pays. Buys the time for it.
He might.
I like it. I like the petty.
Oh yeah.
This is as petty as it gets out of Nick, and he's admitting that he's being petty and that he will never stop being petty towards it.
Yeah.
This might have to go in the PettyCast Hall of Fame.
We'll replay it next Tuesday for sure. That's what I love about, like, Nick is, and he talked about this with Lebatard too. Like, Nick is one way or the other. Like, Nick with Nick Wright, if you're on his bad side, you're on his bad side forever. If you're a friend, he's fiercely loyal to you through good and bad. Like, he is fiercely loyal, but like
Italian mother.
There's no in between. And Nick is not neutral on anybody.
He's like an Italian mother that, like, if some guy dumps her daughter, that guy is getting a hex put on him every night in front of a candle.
Yeah. Okay, now we're getting texts. Oh, Nick hates this guy. Keatsman is all right in my book. Oh, Nick really needs to tell us how he feels. Go, Nick. That's the next text. So, yeah, that is good. That's good. There, that little kerfuffle about Mahomes' body type has given us Take a Mania material for tomorrow and PettyCast material for next week. It's been a good thing for the Payne and Pendergast show, I would say.
I wonder if we have to look, because there's probably a certain percentage of Kansas City people who actually agree with Keatsman. And especially because I know there's a lot of people in Kansas City that they're not super comfortable with him shotgunning beers and everything at the parades and all that. I get that. Like, I understand why people might be that way.
That's three Super Bowls.
Like, Trying to act like he's a chubby, fat mess of a dude.
Yeah, that's silly.
Because he doesn't have an Instagram bod. Yeah. I just can't get with that, man. I can't get with it.
What? Okay. You're right. There's a percentage of people that have an opinion on everything. How big a percentage?
In Kansas City,
how big a percentage do you think that is that have any sort of issue with the perception that Mahomes' conditioning is a lower priority for him?
I would say it's like 5%.
Gotta
maybe,
be low, low
there's
really
always,
low,
there's
man.
Always, you know, like, there's always, usually the contrarian percentage is about 10%, but given that it's Kansas City, given that the dude has won 3 Super Bowls, I think it's probably around the 5%
mark. Well, what if this was Jose Altuve? Jose Altuve is the Patrick Mahomes of Houston right now, right?
Yeah.
Like the linchpin for the only 2 championships we've had in any recent period here. What if Jose Altuve all of a sudden started looking fat and was, you know,
he was a little chunkier early in his career.
Yeah.
Before he turned into what he is now.
Right.
Yeah. If somebody had that take that he's fat and out of shape or something.
Well, yeah. Look, or like if the same thing that's going on with Mahomes where the body type is like, I'm not too sure. And he's, you know, he's getting older, whatever the case may be. Like, what percentage of Astro fans would have any issue with Jose Altuve, do you think?
I don't know. I guess it's dicier just because it's, so if it's Altuve in his prime after the World Series victories and everything.
Okay, yeah, like it's Altuve after the 2022 World Series or something.
Like 3% of people.
Yeah, like I think it's like he's on the Mount Rushmore of Houston. You won 2 championships. This is just, if Altuve's just going to have kind of a dad bod and waddle around at second base.
You know what? People used to wonder, because JJ would be, there would always be these shots of JJ breathing heavily. And because a lot of people would ask questions about this, and you would see it was like, hey, is JJ out of shape? Because you see him breathing real hard. And I would try to explain to people, like, dude, it does not matter. Watch distance runners, or even like somebody like marathon runners, or somebody who runs a 400 or something.
Yeah,
those people are in pretty damn good shape.
Yeah,
watch them at the end of a race.
No doubt.
Like, it doesn't matter what kind of shape you're in. If you're putting out max effort, that means that you've gotten to that level where you're operating at the very, you're redlining
it. You're pushing
it, you know?
It. Yep.
Yeah. So the guys that redline it doesn't matter what kind of shape you're in. As a defensive lineman, it's full body martial arts there,
yeah,
and it's exhausting. So that, yeah, the like JJ breathing hard wasn't an indication that he was out of shape. It was just an indication that he was working really, really, really hard in that moment. But there were still people that were like, I don't know, JJ's out of shape. So JJ, I bet at any given point, even if the Texans had won a Super Bowl and gotten beat in the Super Bowl,
yeah,
and JJ was breathing heavy in the Super Bowl, I think 10% of Houstonians would have been like, well, JJ's out of
shape.
He's
out of shape. You're probably right. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Someone just texted, yo, fatty. Yeah, exactly. That comes from my Jamaica trip.
Who is the Houston athlete historically who played above his body type? And we had conversations about this, and James Harden has immediately won this.
James Harden is who I was going to say. Like, James Harden, yeah, like if you were to just look at James Harden, especially compared to other NBA players,
yeah,
and you were to say, like, pick the guy out of the lineup here that's 8-time first-team All-NBA and MVP, James Harden would not be the guy I would pick.
And people never fully accepted that he was as fast getting to the rim,
yep,
as he was. Partly, I think, because people would talk about his step-back threes without acknowledging that, yeah, part of the reason he's so good at it is because he is so lethally fast to drive.
Turn
on
the
his
corner
drives.
Quick, yeah.
And I think it's because he just doesn't look like Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
And then as things started to go south, then we got really obsessed with James Harden's body type.
Yeah.
And like, to where you forget about how effective he was when he looked exactly the same way he did. So I think James Harden might be the guy that was the closest to this.
I don't think anybody ever got upset about him and his body type because there was never a point where he was really ineffective.
Well, that last season.
No. I'm about to say somebody else.
Oh, okay.
I'm leading into somebody else. Justin Verlander. Like Justin Verlander's productivity.
He's got a dad bod.
And the sheer force of nature that he was throwing a baseball for the Astros belied what he looked like physically. He looked like some dude who probably should have been shooting like a 72 at the member guest every weekend and excelling there, and he probably does. more so than a guy who could throw a baseball 100 miles an hour.
The whole thing about pitchers, I know, because a lot of people brought up, is this, as Keatsman is criticizing Pat Mahomes' physique, a lot of people bring up the various CC Sabathias of the world and what have you. That's where I feel like there's way too many. The sports are different. It's easier to get away with being a fat pitcher is because there's very few fat, like genuinely fat quarterbacks.
Yep.
You know, there's very few. Jared Lorenzen's the all-time example. And obviously that wasn't a body type that worked out. So, I don't like using pitchers as an example. But you're right, because there's so many of them that don't have great bodies.
Astros
actually, for a long time now, have probably had the best physiques of, like, the most conditioned-looking pitchers. Because some people think that, erroneously believe that Framber's kind of chunky.
That's who I was going to bring up.
He's freaking yoked.
Is he really? He's
built, man. Okay. Yeah, you look at his physique. He's just thick.
Yeah.
He's just got broad shoulders and muscular trunk. Yeah.
Oh, Lance Berkman. There you go. Someone texted in Lance Berkman.
Yeah.
Berkman had kind of a chubby
face.
Yeah, he had a fat face.
He was, his body, when you looked at him, it wasn't like he was chunky. He just had a, kind of like Matt Stafford, you know, had a chunkier face than the rest of his body. Yeah.
Pre-Cali Matt Stafford. And he's eating kale and things like that now. He's thinned out a little bit. Jerk. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. The NFL Network has begun dropping the top 100 players, like two or three per day. They're into the mid-80s now. No Texans yet. We got a former Texan yesterday, which elicited more audio that made me agitated with the Laramie Tunsil era here in Houston. You will hear it coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
One thing I know, people love weighing in on athletes that may or may not be fat and productive. Carlos Lee is getting a lot of love all of a sudden on the text page.
Oh yeah,
a lot of love. And in light of the talk up in Kansas City that Patrick Mahomes may be fat this offseason, Seth posed the question to the audience: hey, who are the Houston athletes that we've seen over the last several years whose production may have belied their body type? You know, that they look a little like a recreational softball player. And yet, he's hitting 30 home runs and getting 95 RBIs every year. This is amazing.
Yeah, baseball, you can't even bring baseball into it because baseball is just so – they've got so many awesomely non-athletic-looking type guys or chubby guys or whatever. Carlos Lee, though, I think that when Carlos Lee – what did he break his ankle or whatever? Remember he stepped in a hole on his ranch?
That was
– when you have a bad physique but then you have a curious off-field incident – or what sounds like a scat. That's when people start to get agitated. It's a weird, they're not necessarily related, but they start to look at it almost. There's agitation amongst the townsfolk when it comes to
There were two big things with Carlos Lee, because my radio career started right at the beginning of the Carlos Lee era. And the two big thing, I think the two big things that bothered Astro fans the most with Carlos Lee, one, the team started to get worse at the same time they signed him. He was their big signing. And then 2 years later, they're in a rebuild, you know, maybe a little more than 2 years. They're in a rebuild a few years after that. One, the team wasn't as good. They just made the World Series a couple years before that. Two, Carlos Lee used to have this special dispensation where the team allowed him to leave spring training to come back here for the livestock show because he had a ranch and he bought a lot of big cattle and things like that. So that bothered people. That was one of those things like, if we were better at baseball as a team, maybe it'd be okay. But we're winning lately, and we're back to winning 82 games a year.
He had a 1,000-acre ranch, which is just beautiful looking.
He's a good player. Like, he was solid enough. The problem was he was maybe their best player during that era. If he's like your fifth best player, you're a pretty good baseball team, Carlos.
Sorry, I'm being jealous of his 1,000-acre ranch.
I know. Yeah. That's
we've got 63 acres up in my wife's hometown, and frankly, it's the neighbors are too close. I need 1,000 acres. I got to get 1,000 acres somewhere in Texas.
I got to look at the overhead shot now to see exactly how.
Oh,
close.
No, and it's hills. It's 63 acres of hills and everything. So
still too close.
The surface area ends up being like 63 acres of hills it feels like 200 acres. It's not enough. I need a damn county. I see too many people.
You still have people walking over looking to borrow your lawn tools and things like that when you got 63 acres?
Well, we're around family, too. But even then, there's just too much. This is what I need. This is my simple desire someday. Yeah. I need to own 2,000 acres, which includes like my house at the top of a hill.
Yeah.
With like a 12-foot fence around those 2,000 acres.
A lot of deterrence to get to you. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. The UPS driver up there was telling me about a guy that he goes to who has a scenario just like that. He says his driveway is a mile long and it goes up this hill. And the guy lives in, it's some super retired old dude who lives in, built himself a little two-room cabin. He lives there with his dog. And the guy's loaded beyond belief. He gets these deliveries all the time, but lives very otherwise like kind of modestly. It's all agricultural hobby stuff and everything that he gets.
That's your dream.
And it sounds like heaven.
That's your dream. That's definitely your dream. All right, so NFL top 100 players starting to come out in dribs and drabs here. They're dropping like two or three new guys a day. They started last week. They're up into the mid-80s now. So they started 100 and they're counting down. And yesterday said, we've not seen a Texan yet. I'll tell you how many Texans I think are going to make this list in a second. But a former Texan dropped yesterday. 86th on the list, Laremy Tunsil. So this is voted on by his peers. The players vote on this. Laremy Tunsil, 86. So they do a 2 or 3 minute video on Laremy Tunsil. And it includes Joe Mixon at the beginning, some other offensive linemen around the league. These videos are all just fluff pieces about how amazing these players are, and rightfully so. That's what it's supposed to be. I have no problem with it. I find them enjoyable.
Yeah, and I've got no problem with his ranking here.
He's
being in the 200. Yeah, he's a good football player.
He'll end up being like the 12th offensive lineman on this thing when it's all said and done. If you recall, C.J. Stroud said this about Laremy Tunsil after C.J.'s rookie year. I believe this was on the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast.
This is on the Pivot.
Pivot podcast. Oh, yeah, this is on the Pivot podcast. C.J. said this about Laremy.
You know, like, the main dude was LT. Like, you know, LT, like, he a vet. Like, He not doing an extra practice. Like, you know, like.
Okay, yeah, not doing extra
practice. That's a vet. Yeah, that's yeah. CJ's understanding of what a so vet funny. Is. not doing nothing extra practice.
That's hysterical, yeah.
Yeah.
So as part of this Laremy Tunsil vignette, this three-minute video, the very last person to speak in it was Will Anderson Jr., who had this to say about his now former teammate, Laremy Tunsil.
What about LT?
Double whistle. Man. People always ask me, what was your welcome to the NFL moment? My welcome to the NFL moment was LT in practice. I was rushing against him one day, my rookie year, and like I've never had someone grab me right here and pull me down. Like he like little boyed me. And I was like, yeah, everything they say about you is true, man. LT's just one of those guys where like, he doesn't even have to do much. LT is a guy that like can just stay over to the side, and then come Sunday, he's not gonna give up a pressure, he's not gonna give up a sack, but it's just the way he prepares, the way he trains, everything like that. He's been doing it such a long time, and I think he's the best tackle in the league.
This year, Laremy Tunsil takes his top 100 talent to Washington.
Yeah, I had to play that last part because like he's so good, he's on another team now. He's in Washington, and he's good.
The part that got you was the stays to the side all week, man.
Yeah. Yes, that's vet. That's basically Will Anderson's version of saying Laremy's a vet. He stays off to the side all week, and then boy, does he show up on Sundays.
He is an awesome pass protector. Like in the, he's just technically so pure. He's fun to watch. He is like when it comes to pass protection.
Yeah.
When he's not false starting, those instances when he's not false starting. Yeah, he's a martial artist. It's really cool to watch. But the part about Laremy Tunsil and how it all fit in last year, and the part that I didn't like was the false starts, the variety of false starts and pre-snap penalties that Laremy Tunsil would give you consistently year after year. He was consistently in the top 10 of total penalties in the NFL. Were selfish. Like him trying to time the snap to the point where. That he's just trying to do the best to be sure that he's looking as good as he can in pass protection, that those false starts, and especially sometimes coming in very critical situations, ultimately it's selfish. And he never seemed to actually care about it. He was very fine with insinuating that it was the center's fault, multiple different centers. And meanwhile, none of the other offensive linemen were having a hard time doing it, but Laremy Tunsil somehow had an issue with how the center was doing the snap count. Various other all-pro, like actual all-pro offensive tackles, like Trent Williams, those guys typically will get anywhere between 0 to 4 false starts in a year where Laremy Tunsil could rack up double digits consistently.
Yep.
It's selfish. And when it comes to balancing out and building your team, and when your offense is not nearly as swarm-like as your defense, you got to start to make some of those decisions about, all right, well, this is one of our highest paid guys, and man, the example he sets is makes a bunch of selfish penalties and doesn't like to practice.
Doesn't practice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to build the kind of culture you want.
Absolutely. I think I wanted to make sure we played the CJ vet thing alongside Will Anderson, because these are the two guys, CJ Stroud and Will Anderson, that were brought into this organization to be the faces of each side of the football for the next 12 years for this team on offense and defense. And I think so far, so good. I think it's trending in a direction where this strategy is working for the Texans. But there's a baffling part of it to me, particularly with those two guys who work so hard and love to practice, that it's just kind of sloughed off. Like Laremy's a vet. Ah, that's kind of funny. Will Anderson saying he stays off to the side. If not practicing is baked into your brand in some way, I got a little less respect for you as a player. You know, like if that's part of it, what are the first three things that you think of with Laremy Tunsil? You know what I mean? And it's good pass blocker. I would say not practicing. I don't get past three before I say doesn't really like to. I'm not sure what his top level love for football is. You know,
like. Yeah.
Yeah,
there's lots of people that are really good at stuff that don't necessarily like live and breathe it.
Yeah.
And the most curious thing to me, though, is the way that all these people will tweet out about, they'll tweet out his PFF, his Pro Football Focus pass protection grade, but they'll ignore all the other PFF grades. I don't like PFF grades. They're useful as a tool in some regards, but if you are going to live in that world where you're using PFF, to say whether somebody is a good or bad player, why are you not also pointing out that his overall PFF grade puts him as the 22nd best offensive tackle in
football? Tell me the whole story, man.
If you're going to live in that world, why are you cherry-picking stats to show how awesome a player he is?
Thank you.
And acting as if like run blocking and penalties don't matter at all.
Yeah. I'll get to the five guys I think are going to make the top 100 from the Texans. I'll hit that real quickly coming into the next segment. We want you to put your thinking caps on, though. The Awful Announcing linked to a podcast yesterday that talked about the most overcovered sports stories of 2025. What are the Houston sports stories that thus far this year you feel have been overcovered, particularly on our show? Well, I'm willing to take this as
the ones that you're sick of us
feedback.
Hearing,
yeah, what
yeah,
do you?
You're sick of hearing us talk about this nonsense.
Yes. What are the most overcovered Houston sports stories so far this year? Text in 713-572-4610. We'll do that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.